If you would, please go ahead and turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2. Well, that's still on page 1021 of the Pew Bible. We're making great speed through this, but that's not the intent to get through it. The intent is to get God's Word through us. We're in a series, Living the Christian Life. We're in week 5 of that series. In part, John is writing because these antichrist, he calls them, these false teachers have gone out around this church and are teaching and preaching a different gospel, preaching a gospel of a different Jesus, in a sense, a gospel of a Jesus that they've created in their own image, not the same Jesus that the apostles had taught since the beginning of the church. Jesus warns his disciples about these false teachers. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, Jesus warns his followers by saying this, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves." He goes on later in that chapter and says in verse 21 of Matthew 7, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Cast out demons in your name, and do many mighty works in your name.'" It's interesting. I always think that's amazing. They've done all these things. And Jesus doesn't dispute that they've done things. But what does he say? "And I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" John is saying, in essence, or Jesus is saying, in essence, it doesn't matter how much we cry out, "Lord, Lord," it doesn't matter how much we do in the name of Christ, or say in the name of the Christ, for that matter. What matters is whether we keep his commandments, that if you know him, you will keep his commandments. We cannot claim the name of Jesus Christ and not also claim the life of Christ. Last week, we looked at the first 6 verses of chapter 2, where John taught that living the Christian life means keeping God's word, keeping God's commandments, walking like Jesus walked, living the Christian life. Jesus said in John 14, chapter 14, verse 15, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." So now this begs the question, which commandments must I keep? Well, let's read here in 1 John chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 7 through 11. "Beloved, I'm writing to you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At this time, it is a new commandment that I'm writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away. The true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in the darkness and does not know where he's going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes." John begins by teaching that this command for those who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ is not a new command. It's actually an old command. It's a command that they've heard from the beginning of their Christian experience, from the first time they encountered the gospel. John has been teaching the same message over and over again. This command is a part of their Christian experience. But note that John doesn't directly, in these opening sentences, doesn't directly explain what that command is. From John's thinking, this should be obvious to the believers who are reading this letter. But in verses 9 and 10, we get a clearer picture of what particular commands he's talking about. Verse 9, "Whoever says that he is in the light and hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light." Here we're getting at the nub. "And in him there is no cause for stumbling." When people come to Jesus and asked him, came to him and asked him, "What is the greatest command in the law of Moses?" Jesus answered, "To love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself." To love God, to love one another. These are the commands are actually found in the Old Testament. So in one sense, they're not old or not new because they've been around from the beginning. But they're new in a sense that they're new because they're explained and they're lived out and they're exemplified in the life and ministry and heart of Jesus Christ. But now just not a command for us to keep. It is a heartfelt change, a transition that's new in the new covenant because we now have Christ in us. John says this command is to love. Love as Christ has loved us. John says that he is also writing a new command. This new command is true in him and in you. It is true in Christ and his life and his fulfillment, and it is true in us, or should be true in us, because Christ now dwells in us. In Jesus, we are able to see what loving others truly looks like. Love had been commanded in the Old Testament, but never had love been so perfectly displayed. Think about Jesus washing the feet of his disciples the night he was going to be betrayed. Think about Jesus breaking bread and handing it to those who we know will betray him. Think about Jesus as he was arrested, but still made sure his disciples were safe. Think about Jesus dying for the world so the world could have eternal life and not experience eternal condemnation, though the world would reject him, spit at him, curse him. Loving others is grounded in Jesus coming to earth and dying on the cross. You've never experienced love until you see and experience a relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus is the full expression of the new command. Here is what loving others truly looks like. Look at the life of Jesus. Listen to these words. Jesus says this in John chapter 13, verse 14. Jesus says it this way, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. This is what John is teaching us and will continue to teach us through the rest of his letter. Notice what John said in his letter. Yet I am writing you a new command, which is true in him and in you. The new command is true in us when we love another, because Jesus has loved us. Living the Christian life means we love others like Jesus loved us. We are able to love others because we are conscious and accept the love that Jesus has shown us. I act in the best interest of others because Jesus acted in my best interest. I forgive others because Jesus has forgiven me. I give because Jesus has given to me. I serve because Jesus has served me. The second reason we love is stated in verse 8, where John says we love because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. The light has come in Jesus, and we are to walk in the light, to imitate Christ. The Bible repeatedly reminds us who we are. And because of who we are, that leads to right action. This transformational power from darkness to light. Paul writes it this way in Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. Paul writes there, he has delivered us from the dominion of darkness, from that ruling power and controlling darkness, and transformed us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sin. Peter puts it in 1 Peter 2, verses 9 and 10. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellence of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Once you were not his people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And in John 8, verse 12, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. We truly put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. There's this transformation that takes place, that we no longer walk in the darkness. We become new. We become within us now. That light shines and emanates because the love of Christ is now within us. And it is that which shines out through us. It is not another legalistic thing that we have to do. It's not another list of commands that we have to keep. We keep the commands not because we do these things so that we can say, Lord, Lord, didn't I prophesy? Lord, Lord, didn't I proclaim? Lord, Lord, didn't I do this and that? It's because I've been changed and I've been transformed. But now this is just evidence of who I am. It is a shining out of the light that is now in me. The true light is already shining. We're called out of the darkness. And when we do not show the love of Jesus to one another, then we have returned to the darkness. We are no longer in the kingdom of his beloved Son, but are back in the dominion of darkness. This is where John goes in the next few verses, here in verse 9. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in the darkness. A powerful statement. You know, again, we said that John, 1 John, is to be a mirror, not to hold up to look and judge others, but to be a mirror to reflect our own heart. Whoever says he hates his brother is still in the darkness. Now, specifically, I think in John here, he's talking about hating a brother, sister in Christ. He's talking about how this works out within the body of Christ. We're told elsewhere in other places in scriptures clearly that we're to love our enemies, we're to love the world outside. But John is dealing with primarily here the body of Christ. I don't know too many people here would say, yeah, I hate him. I hate her. I don't know people that would say that outright. Hopefully not too many of us would feel that way. But I know people that won't sit at the same table with somebody. I know that if we have a dinner, they can sit over there and we'll sit over here. I know people that, well, there's lots of ways to hate our brother, which means we're in the darkness, which we're not experiencing the light and love of Christ. Whoever says he's in the light and hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no stumbling. Here's the gem in this. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there's no cause of stumbling. See, when we love somebody, we don't sin against them. When we love somebody and we serve them and love them the way Christ has loved us, we put their needs above our needs. We put their concerns above our concerns, their interest above our concerns. We serve them the way Christ served us. We care for them the way Christ cares for us. See, we don't have to have a list of commands, because I'm not going to do wrong against them because I love them. And my motivation now is out of this love, out of this pure desire for their best and their greatest. A young man goes out on a date with a girl he says he loves, and yet he's trying to talk the girl into doing things that she knows she ought not do. He doesn't love her. That's not love. That's self-serving. So when we're loving, we don't have to worry about stumbling. Because of who we are and this nature that's Christ, this light that is in us, has changed us, that now our outward actions is a reflection of what's really going on inside of us. Verse 11, but whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he's going. Because the darkness has blinded him. There's a threefold darkness for those who are hating other brothers, and they're first they're they're not in fellowship with God. In God, there is no darkness. And if we're holding darkness and hatred in our heart, then that part of us cannot be in the presence of God. You're not in fellowship with God. And that ultimately brings the question of where your eternal life is. Because if you've come into fellowship with God, then you have to let that darkness go. You're living a life in the dominion of darkness and not in the kingdom of the Son. And finally, you're blind to the condition and you cannot see where you're going. When we allow hate to continue in our hearts, we're stumbling around in the darkness. A couple weeks ago, we had the electric go out in our home, Bailey Lakes, for a couple hours, stumbling around, trying to find flashlights, and finally, like, well, I got a flashlight on my phone. Yeah. We can't do both. There's no duplicity with God. We can't say, I love God, I love what He does for me, but I hate this one. I love God who's forgiven me and shown grace to me, but I'm not going to forgive them. I love God because He's merciful to me and cares for me, but I'm not going to serve and care for that one. When the power goes out, we stumble in the darkness trying to find light. Your life is lost. You cannot find God because you have no love for others. Remember what John said in his first chapter. We said a couple weeks ago, who had the blood of Jesus cleansed them from all sin? Those who walk in the light and have fellowship with God, and the blood of Jesus cleanses them. John is clear that those who do not love their brothers are walking in darkness. The implications are enormous. If you do not love your brother, then you have not truly received Jesus' atoning sacrifice for your life. I think the point is fairly simple. If you say you love your brother, you don't get it. If you do not love and forgive your brother, then you just don't get it. When you cause problems and divisions, you just don't get it. When we give other Christians a hard time because maybe they think differently or use a different translation than we do, then something's wrong. We don't really get it. When we act selfishly, inconsiderate of others, and not thinking about what, instead of thinking about what we can do for them, then we're walking in darkness. This is what it means to live the Christian life. Just love and serve, care and forgive our brothers in Christ. Watched a video a couple weeks, last week, with our college career group. And in it, one of the clips, the guy was talking about, you know, when you go to the movies and they show the trailers, not the kind you pull behind your car, but, you know, the movie trailers that, you know, preview the movie that's coming up, and you sit there and you kind of like, yeah, we're going to go see this one, you know, or no, we're not going to see that one. Maybe you can experience that. You know, this right here is God's trailer of heaven. When people look at us, they should say to each other, we're going to see that. We want more of that. There's a picture of what heaven's going to look like, and I see it in this body, and I want that. But if we're backbiting and fighting and squabbling and getting, well, I'm not going because I didn't get what I want, or I, you know, if we're not communicating within the church and then the churches as a community, well, that denomination or, you know, those Baptists or you know, we can talk about each other, and who wants that? That's darkness. There's enough of that in the world. We don't need that. We need to be serving, loving, respecting, forgiving, offering grace towards one another, taking the initiative to love one another enough that when somebody offends me, I will go to you with love and say, hey, this hurt, this offended. You said this, and I took it that way, so that we got time to come back and say, wow, I hear what you say and how you heard it that way. I'm sorry. Let me ask forgiveness for that. Here's my heart. Here's what I really mean. We're going to look to settle disagreements, not make mountains out of molehills. We can have differences and still maintain love and peace and respect for one another. See each other from kingdom's perspective. Whether you're left or right, or red or blue, on the eternal side of things, there's another election coming. Those things will change. But we, as a body of Christ, have one message. That's the love of Christ, who first loved us. So John has taught us that if we are truly walking and living the Christian life, that we will keep his commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. What's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, all your soul, and all your might. Every part of your fiber of your being should love God. We should love God more and his light so that we are so drawn to it that anything that even hints at darkness, we are repelled from. We don't have to keep a list of rules and commands because I know as soon as I do this, it's pulling me away from God. I don't want to do that because that's taking me in the wrong direction. That's taking me back to the darkness. So my desire is to move closer to the love. I want to walk in, experience, and enjoy the blessing of the trueness and the richness and the depth of God's love, who the creator of the universe, who stepped down from heaven itself to come into this world, to die in your place so that he could have a living relationship with you. This is how much God loves you. He's created you unique and specific. You know, I've said this before. You look at your fingerprints, all the people in the world, billions of people that have ever lived, ever will live. Not one other person has your fingerprints. You are a unique and special creation, specific creation by the God of the universe, who loves you enough to die in your place for you, so that he could have a loving and living relationship with you. And he is drawing you back to him every moment, every breath. He's drawing you into a deeper and deeper relationship because he loves you. And when we walk in that, when we embrace that, when we begin to experience the depth and the realness of it's not a theory. It's not, yeah, God loves those people. It's God loves me. That transforms us. That changes us. And now when we look at those people around us, see, God doesn't love us when we just do right. God doesn't love us just when we're pleasing with him. God doesn't just love us when we agree with him. God loves us all the time. He loves us enough so that he's pulling us back into him. And it's that kind of love that we experience, that we walk in the light of that love, that then gives us the power to love our neighbor, to love our brothers and sisters in Christ, to love and forgive, to love and serve. Father, most gracious God, you are a good and loving God. And Lord, I know at each point in the day, we each experience or not fully experience that love, but Lord, draw us in. Draw us out of the darkness and into the light. Father, if there's anyone here this morning and you're hearing these words and you're saying, I don't know what you're talking about. If you're hearing this morning, and you've never experienced this love personally, God, open your heart and your mind to his truth. Jesus says, I'm the truth, and here is the truth. He loves you. And our sins have separated us from that love. But he died on the cross, so that those sins could be forgiven and that you could be restored to life. If you're here this morning and you don't have that love, you haven't experienced that love, it's simple in one way. It's acknowledging your sin and your separation from God. Saying, God, I'm a sinner and I'm separated from you. Father, I want your love, and I see that your love is in the person Jesus Christ. I receive his death, Lord, as the payment for my sin. And now, Lord, help me walk in your love. Help me to learn to grow in this love. Help this love to grow and be perfected in me. If you can say that prayer this morning, if you can ask the Lord that in your heart, in your own words, then you will have this eternal life and you will grow and continue to grow in this love. And there are others here that would love to help you to understand that love. Father, most gracious God, we praise you, we thank you, for we are first loved. We thank you, Lord, that you have called us to this loving community. Help us to show this love so that others say, we want that. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.